Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, Res. PAA. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's CFPB, Regulation X, which implements the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, Res. EPAH, ensures that consumers throughout the nation are provided with more helpful information about the cost of the mortgage settlement and protected from unnecessarily high settlement charges caused by certain abusive practices. The Act requires mortgage loan originators and servicers of residential loans to provide borrowers with timely disclosures of the nature and costs of the real estate settlement process. Designed to help consumers better understand settlement services costs, RESPA also prohibits abusive practices such as undisclosed referral fees and kickbacks. It also mandates disclosures for mortgage escrow accounts at closing and annually. RESPA requires mortgage loan originators to provide detailed disclosures regarding the transfer, sale, or assignment of mortgage servicing rights. Coverage of RESPA. RESPA is applicable to all federally related residential mortgage loans. As defined in Regulation X, federally related mortgage loans are loans, other than temporary loans, including refinance transactions secured by a first or subordinate lien on residential real property that is improved with either a 1-to-4 family structure, including individual units of condominiums and cooperatives, either existing or to be constructed on the real property using loan proceeds, a manufactured home, either existing or to be placed on the real property using loan proceeds, and to which any one of the following applies: loans made by a lender, creditor, or dealer, loans made or insured by an agency of the federal government, loans made in connection with a housing or urban development, HUD, program administered by an agency of the federal government, loans made and intended to be sold by the originating lender or creditor to Federal National Mortgage Association, FNMA, Government National Mortgage Association, GNMA, Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, FHLMC, or its successor. Loans that are the subject of a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage issued by a lender or creditor subject to the regulation. Exemptions. Transactions exempt from Res PAH include loans secured by parcels of 25 acres or more, whether or not the property is improved, for which the primary purpose is business, commercial, or agricultural. However, a business purpose loan made to one or more persons acting in an individual capacity, natural persons, to acquire, refinance, improve, or maintain a 1-to-4 family residential property used or to be used to rent or lease to other persons is a covered transaction. Temporary loans, such as construction loans, the exemption does not apply, and the transaction becomes covered by RESPA. If the loan is used as, or may be converted to permanent financing by the same bank, a lender's commitment for permanent financing is covered by the regulation. The regulation covers any construction loan with a term of 2 years or more unless it is made to a bona fide contractor. The regulation does not cover bridge or swing loans, secured by vacant or unimproved property when none of the loan proceeds will be used to construct a 1-to-4 family residential structure. If the proceeds will be used to locate a manufactured home or construct a structure within 2 years, from the date of settlement, the loan is covered. For the assumption of existing mortgages in which the lender has no right to approve subsequent persons as borrowers, conversions of federally related mortgage loans to different terms consistent with the original mortgage instrument, as long as a new note is not required, are also exempt. Examples include transactions involving the renewal of single payment loans with no change in terms, loans on which the APR is lowered, with a corresponding reduction in payment, loans involving a court-ordered agreement, workout arrangements of a problem loan, loans on which optional insurance is added, secondary market transactions. A bona fide transfer of a loan obligation in the secondary market is not covered by RESPA. RESPA TILLA, Integrated Disclosures Rule. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, Dodd-Frank Act, directed the Bureau to integrate the mortgage loan disclosures under TILLA and RESPA. On November 20, 2013, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau released the 1,888-page final RES, PATIL, La Integrated Disclosures Rule. The final rule mandates the use of two disclosures, the three-page loan estimate, which replaced the good faith estimate and the initial truth in lending disclosure, and the closing disclosure form, which replaced the HUD one and final truth in lending disclosure. These new forms are designed to provide disclosures that will be helpful to consumers in understanding the key features, costs, and risks of the mortgage for which they are applying. Home Loan Toolkit. Mortgage originators must provide the applicant with a copy of your Home Loan Toolkit, a step-by-step guide, either at the time a written application is submitted, or no, later than 3 business days after the application is received. The lender must provide the Home Loan Toolkit by delivering it or placing it in the mail to the applicant, not later than 3 business days after the application is received or prepared. A mortgage loan originator that receives an application for a federally related mortgage loan is required to disclose to the borrower at the time of application or within 3 business days after its submission whether the servicing of the loan may be assigned, sold, or transferred. A written acknowledgement that the applicant has read and understood the disclosure, evidenced by the signature of the applicant. The disclosure may be sent by hand delivery, or if the applicant agrees, by fax, email, or other electronic means. Disclosures after settlement. Notice of transfer, loan servicing. When the servicing of a federally related mortgage loan is assigned, sold, or transferred, the transfer or servicer, present servicer, must provide a disclosure not less than 15 days before the effective date of the transfer. The same notice from the transferee servicer, new servicer, must be provided not more than 15 days after the effective date of the transfer. Both notices may be combined into one notice delivered to the borrower not less than 15 days before the effective date of the transfer. The disclosure must include the following: the effective date of the transfer of servicing, the name, address for consumer inquiries, and toll-free or collect call telephone number of the transferee servicer. A toll-free or collect call telephone number for a person employed by the transferor servicer that the borrower can contact to answer servicing transfer questions. The date on which the transferor servicer will cease accepting payments relating to the loan and the date on which the transferee servicer will begin to accept such payments. These dates must either be the same or consecutive dates. Any information about the effect of the transfer on the availability of optional insurance and any action the borrower must take to maintain coverage. A statement that the transfer does not affect any other terms or conditions of the mortgage, except as related directly to servicing. During the 60-day period beginning on the date of transfer, no late fee can be imposed on a borrower who has made a timely payment to the wrong servicer. Servicers must respond to borrower's inquiries. A servicer must respond to a borrower's qualified written inquiry and take appropriate action within established timeframes after receipt of the inquiry. Generally, the servicer must provide written acknowledgement within 20 business days and take specific actions within 60 business days of receipt of such inquiry. During the 60 business day period following receipt of a qualified written request from a borrower relating to a disputed payment, a servicer may not provide information on any overdue payment or relating to this period, or the qualified written request to any consumer reporting agency. Annual escrow account statement. A servicer must submit to the borrower an annual statement for each escrow account within 30 days of the completion of the computation year. The servicer must conduct an escrow account analysis before submitting an annual escrow account statement to the borrower. Annual escrow account statements must contain the account history, projections for the next year, current mortgage payment and portion going to escrow, amount of last year's mortgage payment and the portion going to escrow, total amount paid into the account during the past year, amount paid from the account, balance at the end of the period, explanation of how the surplus, shortage, or deficiency is being handled, and, if applicable, the reasons why the estimated low monthly balance was not reached. Res Pa, Section 8, Prohibition Against Kickbacks and Unearned Fees. Section 8 of Res Pa prohibits any person who, pursuant to any agreement or understanding, gives or receives a fee or a thing of value, including payments, compensation, fees, gifts, or special privileges, for the referral of settlement business. Payments in excess of the reasonable value of goods provided or services rendered are considered kickbacks. No referral fees. No person may give, and no person may accept any fee, kickback, or other things of value pursuant to any agreement or understanding, oral or otherwise, that business incident to or part of a settlement service involving a federally related mortgage loan shall be referred to any person. A business entity, whether or not in an affiliate relationship, may not pay any other business entity or the employees of any other business entity for the referral of settlement service business. No split of charges except for actual services performed. No person may give, and no person may accept any portion, split, or percentage of any charge made or received for the rendering of a settlement service in connection with a transaction involving a federally related mortgage loan other than for services actually performed. A charge by a person for which no or nominal services are performed, or for which duplicative fees are charged, is an unearned fee and violates this section. The source of the payment does not determine whether or not a service is compensable, nor may the prohibitions of this part be avoided by creating an arrangement wherein the purchaser of services splits the fee. Thing of value defined in Regulation X. This term is broadly defined in Res Pa. It includes, without limitation, monies, things, discounts, salaries, compensation, fees, duplicate payments of a charge, stock, dividends, distributions of partnership profits, franchise royalties, credits representing monies that may be paid at a future date, the opportunity to participate in a money-making program, retained or increased earnings, increased equity in a parent or subsidiary entity, special bank deposits or accounts, special or unusual banking terms, services of all types at special or free rates, sales or rentals at special prices or rates, lease or rental payments based in whole or in part on the amount of business referred, trips and payment of another person's expenses, or reduction in credit against an existing obligation. The term payment is used throughout Res Pa as synonymous with the giving or receiving any thing of value. It does not require the transfer of money. Agreement or understanding as defined in Regulation X. An agreement or understanding for the referral of business, incident to, or part of a settlement service, need not be written or verbalized, but may be established by a practice, pattern, or course of conduct. When a thing of value is received repeatedly and is connected in any way with the volume or value of the business referred, the receipt of the thing of value is evidence that it is made pursuant to an agreement or understanding for the referral of business. Section 8 of Res PA permits per Regulation X fees, salaries, compensation, or other payments. A payment to an attorney at law for services actually rendered. A payment by a title company to its duly appointed agent for services actually performed in the issuance of a policy of title insurance. A payment by a lender to its duly appointed agent or contractor for services actually performed in the origination, processing, or funding of a loan. A payment to any person of a bona fide salary or compensation or other payment for goods or facilities actually furnished or for services actually performed. A payment pursuant to cooperative brokerage and referral arrangements or agreements between real estate agents and real estate brokers. The statutory exemption restated in this paragraph refers only to fee divisions within real estate brokerage arrangements when all parties are acting in a real estate brokerage capacity and has no applicability to any fee arrangements between real estate brokers and mortgage brokers or between mortgage brokers. Normal promotional and educational activities that are not conditioned on the referral of business and that do not involve the defraying of expenses that otherwise would be incurred by persons in a position to refer settlement services or business incident thereto. Or, and employer's payment to its own employees for any referral activities. The Bureau may investigate high prices to see if they are the result of a referral fee or a split of a fee. If the payment of a thing of value bears no reasonable relationship to the market value of the goods or services provided, then the excess is not for services or goods actually performed or provided. These facts may be used as evidence of a violation of Section 8 and may serve as a basis for a RESPA investigation. High prices standing alone are not proof of a RESPA violation. The value of a referral, i.e., the value of any additional business obtained thereby, is not to be taken into account in determining whether the payment exceeds the reasonable value of such goods, facilities, or services. The fact that the transfer of the thing of value does not result in an increase in any charge made by the person giving the thing of value is irrelevant in determining whether the act is prohibited. Controlled Business Arrangement, CBA. If the lender has either an affiliate relationship or a direct or beneficial ownership interest of more than 1% in a provider of settlement services, and the lender directly or indirectly refers business to the provider, it is a controlled business arrangement. That arrangement does not violate Section 8 of RESPA and Regulation X if the referring party must give the CBA disclosure to the consumer at or prior to the time of referral or with the loan estimate, which includes the nature of the relationship, explaining the ownership and financial interest between the provider and the lender, the estimated charge or range of charges generally made by such provider. The lender does not require the use of such a provider, with the following exceptions. The bank may require a buyer, borrower, or seller to pay for the services of an attorney, credit reporting agency, or real estate appraiser chosen by the bank to represent its interest. The lender receives only a return on ownership or franchise interest or payment otherwise permitted by RESPA. Penalties for Section 8 violations. Any person or persons who violate the provisions of this section shall be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. Any person or persons who violate the prohibitions or limitations of this section shall be jointly and severally liable to the person or persons charged for the settlement service involved in the violation in an amount equal to 3 times the amount of any charge paid for such settlement service. No person or persons shall be liable for a violation of the provisions of subsection C, 4, A of this section, if such person or persons proves by a preponderance of the evidence that such violation was not intentional and resulted from a bona fide error, notwithstanding maintenance of procedures that are reasonably adapted to avoid such error. The Bureau, the Secretary, the Attorney General, or the Insurance Commissioner of any state may bring an action to enjoin violations of this section, except to the extent that a person is subject to the jurisdiction of the Bureau, the Secretary, the Attorney General, or the Insurance Commissioner of any state. The Bureau shall have primary authority to enforce or administer this section, subject to Subtitle B of the Consumer Financial Protection Act of 2010. In any private action brought pursuant to this subsection, the court may award to the prevailing party the court costs of the action together with reasonable attorney's fees. No provision of state law or regulation that imposes more stringent limitations on affiliated business arrangements shall be construed as being inconsistent with this section. RESPA Section 9. Title Companies. The Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, RESPA, and Regulation X prohibit, either directly or indirectly, a seller from requiring a purchaser to buy title insurance from a specific title company in any transaction as a condition of the sale. Section 9 of RESPA states that no seller of property that will be purchased with the assistance of a federally related mortgage loan may require, directly or indirectly, as a condition to selling the property, that title insurance covering the property be purchased by the buyer from any particular title company. Any seller who violates the provisions of this section shall be liable to the buyer in an amount equal to 3 times all charges made for such title insurance. RESPA Section 10. Limits on escrow accounts. Section 10 of Res PA and Regulation X sets limits on the amounts that a lender may require a borrower to put into an escrow account for purposes of paying taxes, hazard insurance, and other charges related to the property. RESPA does not require lenders to impose an escrow account on borrowers. However, certain government loan programs or lenders may require escrow accounts as a condition of the loan. During the course of the loan, RESPA prohibits a lender from charging excessive amounts for the escrow account. Each month, the lender may require a borrower to pay into the escrow account no more than 1/12 of the total of all disbursements payable during the year, plus an amount necessary to pay for any shortage in the account. In addition, the lender may require a cushion not to exceed an amount equal to 1/6 of the total disbursements for the year. The lender must perform an escrow account analysis once during the year and notify borrowers of any shortage. Any excess of $50 or more must be returned to the borrower. Penalties. In the case of each failure to submit a statement to a borrower as required, the Bureau shall assess to the lender or escrow servicer failing to submit the statement a civil penalty of $50 for each such failure, but the total amount imposed on such lender or escrow servicer for all such failures during any 12-month period may not exceed $100,000. Intentional violations. If any failure to which is due to intentional disregard of the requirement to submit the statement, then, with respect to such failure, the penalty imposed under paragraph shall be $100. And, in the case of any penalty determined under subparagraph A, the $100,000 limitation under paragraph 1 shall not apply. Filing a Res PA complaint. The Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, Res PA Ought, is administered and enforced by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. Persons who believe a settlement service provider has violated Res PA in an area in which the CFPB has enforcement authority may wish to file a complaint. A consumer with a question or complaint related to a mortgage or a mortgage servicer should contact the CFPB's Consumer Response Team at 855-411-2372, 855-792-3722-TTY/TDD, or www.consumerfinance.gov. Additional Res PAH provisions. The Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, Res PAH, and Regulation X prohibit either directly or indirectly a seller from requiring a purchaser to buy title insurance from a specific title company in any transaction as a condition of the sale. RESPA also sets limits on the amounts that a lender may require a borrower to put into an escrow account for purposes of paying taxes, hazard insurance, and other charges related to the property. RESPA does not require lenders to impose an escrow account on borrowers. However, certain government loan programs or lenders may require escrow accounts as a condition of the loan.